listening to the podcast for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is the Social Media Church Podcast, episode number 84. And I am your host, DJ Chuang. And on this episode, you'll hear my conversation with Professor Dave Bourgeois, who is the Associate Professor of Information Systems in the Crowell School of Business at Biola University. And he also is the Director of Innovation and the Director of an upcoming conference called Biola Digital Conference. He also authored a book titled Ministry in the Digital Age, Strategies and Best Practices for a Post-Website World. So I had to ask him what a post-website world was. I also chat with him about the changes that have happened on the college campus because of social media and digital technologies. And then we circle back to talk about the Biola Digital Conference and what's going to happen there. If you want to jump ahead, you can check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net. As you listen to my conversation with Professor Dave Bourgeois. Well, welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. Dave Bourgeois, he is a professor of all kinds of things at Biola University. So I'll let him give you the short bio and curriculum vitae, I think is what they call it in the professional academia world. He's also authored a book, Ministry in the Digital Age. We'll talk about that. And then another resource, which is an event coming up this summer in June called Biola.digital. Dave, thank you so much for making some time to connect with us here on Social Media Church.
All right, thanks, DJ. So just about myself real quick, I've been here at Biola's faculty for about 11 years. I actually graduated from Biola, I like to just tell my students, back in the day, back in the 80s. And I'm here in the business school now as a professor of information systems. And they've also given me this title called Director of Innovation. I like to say I never came up with that title because it sounds a little pretentious, but basically what I'm doing here in the School of Business is helping students and the faculty learn to use technology better.
You would have this role in the School of Business. It would seem to make more sense in the traditional sense to have this kind of thing in computer science or in engineering. So how did this come about for Biola?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, in the School of Business, I originally was the head of the information systems program within the business school. So we had students here getting business degrees, but taking classes in, technology, systems analysis, those sorts of things. And what was happening was I wasn't getting enough students there. And so the decision was made a couple of years ago, said, well, why don't we, not have this concentration for just a small number of students, but instead take these technology skills you're trying to teach and apply them to the broader business student. And so that's really how that was born. We do have a computer science department, and they really, people ask me all the time, well, what was the difference between information systems and computer science? And the real difference, computer science students, computer science majors focus mostly specifically on programming, developing systems, it's not necessarily the theoretical side of computing, but really the more technical side. And whereas in information systems, we're really more about the application of the computer, about, the internet, social media, computer software applied to business, becoming a way for businesses to utilize those technologies for, as we like to say, for strategic advantage here in business. So that's really, that's how that role came about.
Well, technology and social media and internet have transformed the world. It's even overturned a couple governments. It's definitely become a bigger and bigger part of our economy. How is social media affecting the college campus?
Well, it's quite interesting. My wife and I both went here to Biola several years ago. And one of the things we notice when we walk on campus together now is campus is kind of the same. But you look around at the students and they're all looking at their phones. Instead of talking to each other. And I suppose that's just, what we expect to see these days. But what social media has allowed people to do is stay in connection, with people in many, many different ways. And so as opposed to the old, old school way of face-to-face, phone calls. Now you feel connected, whether it's real connection or not is another argument, throughout the day, you know, by tweeting, by text messaging, by doing Facebook posts.
So what I've noticed is in the classroom, and really just in general in the faculty-student relationship, there really is starting to be a shift. And I've noticed it here with business school faculty that there are some of us who are willing to embrace social media. We feel comfortable with it. There's others who are not. And I believe it does have an effect on students, and it does have an effect on them if they see us active on social media, if they see us doing LinkedIn and Twitter. I think that it makes us more real to them. Now, one of the things I don't do is I don't think I have to be my students' best friend. So I don't go and friend them on Facebook. I'm not sure how appropriate that is even. It just might not be something they're comfortable with. But I do say they can follow me on Twitter. They can still go find me on Facebook and see me. I've got a LinkedIn profile that they can go look at. And I do really like the idea that I have a presence. I have a blog site. Don't update it all that much, but it has information about me. It lets them know who I am. Same with my Twitter profile. And, you know, I encourage the faculty to do that, but it's really hit and miss. I think there's some that really feel comfortable doing that, and there's others who don't. As business professors especially, though, I think it's important for us to model what a good business person would do. And so we do try to encourage our professors, especially, say, on LinkedIn, which I would say of all the social networks, that's the one that we here in the School of Business encourage our students to become very familiar with as a resource for them, because their employers, of course, are going to be looking for them online. And that really brings me to, you know, another change. As students come in to business school or even just to the university in general, there's a lot of things that they already know how to do. They're at least as familiar with social media and, you know, YouTube and Facebook and all of the sites as the professors are. I don't have to explain to them about that. I explain to my colleagues a lot more than I explain to the students. In fact, just today in class, I was talking to the students about a project I want them to do here in this last month of the semester, where I'm going to ask them to build a website and upload a video and edit the video in certain ways, just as a what I call a general digital literacy project, where I'm expecting, you know, all business students to know how to do that. And I don't even really have to explain to them how. They all know how to shoot a video of themselves. They all know how to upload it to YouTube. And for those that don't know how to do, you know, some of the simple editing I'm required, they know how to figure it out. They can just go look it up. I don't have to teach them. And so I really see my job in the world of technology not so much to explain how to do things as much as to let them know, well, here's the important things to learn. Here's things that your employers will be looking for. And then in another sense, also, we talk about the ability to manage your own personal presence online and privacy settings, security settings, what you should share, what you shouldn't share, those sorts of things. We cover some in the business classes that I teach, at least.
Yeah, and it's a constant learning curve with these new technologies. They're emerging, developing, maturing all the time. I think the development life cycle is somewhere in the 6 month to 1 year range, and you can't publish a book quick enough. So for those of us that are a bit older and learned things in a traditional manner, like in college or like in churches, it's really hard to introduce these new technologies that are changing all the time. And the efforts that have been made in the past decade or so in trying to publish a magazine or trying to run an event have come and gone. It's really hard to produce these resources. Why do you think that is?
Well, people have so many alternatives. It's one thing to think about, I guess, is that students now, the problem isn't access to information. You know, back when I went to school, you went to your professor, they provided you the information or told you where to find it. Now the information is everywhere, and it's really more a matter of understanding what is the right information to know, what are reliable sources, and how do I find more reliable sources. You know, as far as, you know, an event or publishing, again, the first question someone's going to ask, well, why should I spend my time or spend my money on something if it's already available for free? And so not only now do you have to create a great event or a great publication, but you also have to make it unique enough or convince people that it's unique enough or has the value beyond what they could find by Googling the same things. And that's really been, you know, that's something that's a skill that has to be learned. You have to understand what's going to make your event, book, article worthwhile to them. And even if you're not charging for it, even if it's just their time that you want to take, there are so many habits and there are so many, you know, social media interactions, text messages, and so on that people see in front of their face every day. You have to convince them to either add you to that or replace what they're doing now with something that you want to offer. And that's not always easy.
Well, and that leads us to the two things that you've helped produce. One is a book titled Ministry in the Digital Age, Strategies and Best Practices for a Post-Website World. And so I think part of the genius of your book is you're not talking about specific technologies and where to click. You're talking about the strategies and the framework to think about how to use the technology. Was that part of your thinking behind that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I finished my doctoral degree, coming up on 10 years ago now, one of the first things I did was, you know, I have a passion for technology and I have a passion for my faith in Christ. And I wanted to figure out, all right, how can I now with this PhD in information systems, teaching at Biola, how can I take that and really put it into practice from a research and writing and teaching perspective? And I was amazed when I looked around. There were lots of books on, you know, the blogging pastor and how to create a church website. There was all kinds of stuff like that. But there wasn't a lot of research into what was effective, what was working, what were the best practices for going online. And so I spent the first 3 or 4 years after I finished my doctorate putting together research projects, writing. I created a class here at Biola. On, you know, I used to call it internet ministry, and then it was internet and social media ministry. Now it's digital ministry, but creating a class for people who want to go into ministry but want to figure out how to use these tools. And the class had two pieces to it. One was some of the tools, hands-on use of Facebook, hands-on use of YouTube, hands-on podcasting, those sorts of things. But the other part of the class was how to think about these things and how to strategize and how do you pick what tool to use. And the goal was to no matter what technologies were available, the goal was to give people a set of tools that they could use to learn how do I pick a tool. And then once I've picked that tool, you know, how do I figure out how to use it properly? And then even more critical is how do I determine when that tool is no longer effective and it's time to use something else? So just like in the early days, you might have thought, well, how do I use MySpace to connect? And now we're saying, how do you use Facebook or how do you use Twitter? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it may be something completely new, something that maybe exists today or something that does not. And so the goal of the book was to really, though I do use examples from current technologies, the goal was really to give people a strategy framework to evaluate and use and build strategies for different digital technologies.
Yeah, in addition to the recipe format of step-by-step, do you include some grids and exercises in there too?
I do some. I have a sample survey that you could use to pass out to a congregation or to a group of clients on how they use tools, which is a big part of my book is that before you make any decisions, you need to do research. You need to fully understand the people that you're trying to reach. And I'd say please don't go by your gut feel and just think you understand them without really truly understanding them. And so I provide some sample tools. I give examples of things I've done. I give a lot of sample things, I guess. I really don't have a lot of exercises. It's really written not so much as a textbook as it is a book for a pastor or a church leader or a ministry leader or even an independent person just trying to figure this stuff out.
Well, very good. It sounds practical because we have a number of books that talk about the reason for using social media or the potential and the trends of social media, kind of a big picture, but it sounds like this really helps pastors and church leaders to get their hands on it in terms of understanding how people are using it, the people they want to reach or the people that they currently have, and to those learn how to use those tools in a intentional format, intentional manner. Now, what in your subtitle, you mentioned this as being a post-website world. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's a great question because I get that a lot, and there's a lot of people who don't like to hear that word, post-website world. So there's a couple things I need to say about that. One is I don't mean that websites are not important. A website is still very important, and designing the right one and basically using it as your home base, as your piece of property that you own online that you have full control over, that's so important. But what I'm trying to say is that the website is most likely no longer the way people are going to interact with you digitally. People, you know, they have their daily habits. They sit down in front of the computer in the morning and read email or read their Facebook. They may get Twitter feeds all day. They may get text messages. And there's a series of these things that people know, they have their habits. And so the way you're going to start interacting, the way people are going to find out about your ministry, your church, is through other people who interact with you and then share that. And so what you want to do is understand, how do I work with social media? How do I work with these, you know, non-website things so that people find out about me? And so the book talks about, you know, you need to understand what sorts of social media your potential customers or clients or congregations use, and then how do you put yourself into that? I call it getting in the stream. Everyone has a stream of information that flows in front of them every day, and how do you put yourself there in a way that's going to be, you know, charitable, in a way that's going to be loving, really, not spammy, not, you know, intentionally misleading people, but in a way that is going to encourage people to then come visit your website. And so that's really what it is. It's just, you know, the first interaction people have with you most likely will not be through your website, and you don't want to assume that, hey, building a great website is all I need to do.
Yeah, and now websites have to be what they call responsive design in order for the mobile devices to get there and be able to present content in a legible manner.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you are also part of organizing an event called BioLit.Digital. And as I mentioned earlier, it's really hard to find the resources to learn this stuff because it's developing so quickly and it's challenging to sustain. And there's some things that have to be done face-to-face that all the online content and knowledge that makes information freely available, there's still a big part that has to be experienced live. And so thank you for pulling this event together. Tell us about what's happening this year at BioLit.Digital.
Yeah, thanks. BioLit.Digital is a conference that's been running in one form or another for about 8 or 9 years here. Those who remember back in the day, it was called the God Blog Con, and that was something started here at Biola for this kind of new thing called blogging that came out, and Christians kind of gathering around this idea of how can we use this new form of communication you know, to reach the world. And that morphed into a couple of other conferences, but the latest incarnation, and now for the third year, we're calling it Biola Digital. And the idea is really to bring together people, ministries, even small businesses, individuals, missionaries, teachers, people who are wanting to understand how to use social media, how to use digital technologies to love God, to love their neighbor, to do their ministry better. And, you know, having people physically together really allows for some connections to form. One of the things that we intentionally do at Biola Digital is bring a high-quality group of presenters together, but then create a space where there can be connections. And what I mean by that is we've kind of gone the opposite direction of the TED Talk. You know, the TED Talk is you're up for 10 minutes and you have to really be concise, and those are wonderful. But what we've decided is that when people come here, they want to be able to ask questions, they want to be able to talk about things. And so we've designed this so that the sessions that you go to hear one of our speakers, they're going to be in classrooms, so it's going to be somewhat of a kind of an academic feel. But we're going to have long hour-and-a-half sessions where the presenter will maybe present for 45 minutes, but then there will be time to talk about, you know, your individual situation or to follow up on things you heard with each speaker. Besides that, we also plan for connections at lunchtime where you can actually sign up to go to lunch with one of our speakers. So if you register for the conference, sometime about a week, maybe 2 weeks before the conference, you'll get a invitation to sign up for lunch with one of our speakers, and then you'll be able to get some more time, you and a group of six or seven others, to actually go and just sit around a table at lunchtime and connect with one of our speakers. And then even beyond that, we have a conference lounge that's open for the entire 2 days of the conference where you can connect with other participants who are attending the conference. So this idea of learning about digital technologies and how to leverage them for ministry, for education, for deepening spiritual understanding, but also having a way to intentionally connect with the others who come, you know, that's really the idea behind the conference, so that you leave not just knowing more and maybe having one or two more tricks in your bag, but also a whole new group of people that you can, you know, communicate with, that become part of your network, that you can then utilize as you're trying to move forward in your ministry.
Great. And this is open to the public, so thank you for doing that. And it's at Biola University in La Mirada, California, which is in the suburbs of Los Angeles. And the dates are June 3rd to the 5th. Any names that you should mention here that people might recognize?
Well, the first thing I'll talk about is, we have a really high quality group of speakers. Being a university, you know, one of the things I've wanted to do here is have some speakers that are very specific to talking about the classroom, education, discipleship, the types of things that we're interested here in at Biola. And so our keynote speaker is actually a Biola grad named Aaron Sams, who is going to be speaking on the flipped classroom and on using technology to connect with students. His title for his keynote, which is going to be Tuesday night the 3rd, is called "If You Can Be Replaced by a YouTube Video, You Probably Should Be," which I think is just a very provocative title, because as a professor, that's one of the things we're all concerned about is online education, and someday all our students are just going to watch a video. And so, you know, he's going to really talk about, as he puts it, the role of schools, educators, churches, and ministers in an interconnected world, and why they are more important than ever before. So he opens up on Tuesday night. During the rest of the conference on the next 2 days, some of the speakers that people may have heard of, Tammy Heim, who's the head of Christian Leadership Alliance, will be speaking on website content. Justin Wise, who's now the head of the Think Digital Academy, he's also been involved in many other organizations. He's going to be leading a session on how to measure your social media effectiveness. Jason Kasten from the iChurch Method is going to be here. Trying to think of others that people may know. We have a couple of Biola faculty that are going to be teaching as well. One I'm really excited about this time is Dr. Joanne Jung, who's one of the leaders here in character formation in online classes. And she teaches a lot of online classes, and she really, really puts a high priority on connecting with every student in the class and doing character formation as part of her classes. And she's actually writing a book on the subject, and she's going to be talking about that.
Great. And there's more than a dozen speakers, so definitely go to the website at biolodigital.com, and we'll add a link in the show notes so people can click right through and register and be there. I'll be there, so thank you for the invitation.
Yes, looking forward to it.
And the other name I would mention is Kent Schaefer. He's been on the Social Media Church podcast, and he curates the big list of top Christian blogs every year. I think it's
That's
going
right.
on the seventh edition, so I think a lot of people know him too.
Oh, great. Well, good. He's going to be here. He's a great guy. It was fun. I met with him a couple months ago and invited him to speak, and he's going to be doing a session on how to increase spiritual fruit in the digital world.
Hey, did you get to see his RV?
I didn't. He told me about it. He came to my office and said, "My RV is parked over at the park across the street, and my wife and kids are playing." And he just walked over here, so I did not get to see it, but he was on his road trip when he came here.
Well, we recorded a podcast episode in person, and I had to see the RV, so I got to step inside and experience a little bit of their nationwide journey.
That's awesome.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, one thing to note is we have early bird registration for the conference. You can come for $109 if you register by April 30th. I know this podcast may be coming down right.
I'll post it on April 28th.
Yeah, so I will probably try to extend that a couple of days till maybe the end of the week there. So if you want to get in for $109, that includes the keynote and 2 days of sessions. If you like Justin Wise, I didn't talk about this, but Justin Wise is also doing a four-hour intensive before the conference on Tuesday afternoon, his Think Digital Academy, and that's an extra $99. But you can register for just that or just the conference or all of them together by going to the website.
Wonderful. And to close, I wanted to ask you about the name of the conference. You actually put a dot in the middle of it, so it's Biola.digital. Is that a nod to the changing internet namespace?
Well, it's a thought. I'm not sure we're actually I'm assuming a dot digital is going to be out there very soon. I liked the idea, you know, calling it Biola Digital. I thought that was a name that John Mark Reynolds, who started the God BlogCon, came up with, and because we were going to call it the Digital Ministry Conference or Biola Digital Ministry Conference. It was very long and didn't have that kind of branding. And Biola Digital has some pretty good name recognition now. And so that's what I did. I put the dot in there because I just thought it sounded and it looked more techie. And yeah, now we'll see what happens with the dot digital. We'll see where that goes.
Well, in some ways, it's a little bit prophetic. The internet is changing, and there are going to be a lot more dots and yep. Things like .app, .store, .web, .hotel, .bike, mm-hmm. .photo is already out. And I'm part of the .bible launch team, and .church would be of great interest to many of our listeners. Mm-hmm. And there's also international domain names being launched. So you can get a domain name entirely in Arabic, Chinese, Japanese, Russian, and all kinds of other languages. So it's going to be a new world very soon in the next 2 years.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch how this plays out.
Well, Professor Dave Bourgeois, thank you so much for joining us here on the Social Media Church podcast, and I look forward to seeing you again at the Biola.digital conference.
All right. Well, thanks, DJ, and nice talking to you.
A special word of thanks to Professor Dave Bourgeois for joining me on the Social Media Church podcast. You can check the show notes for this episode at socialmediachurch.net and connect with Professor Dave Bourgeois. Check out his book, and take a look at the conference website for Biola.digital. You'll definitely want to see what's happening there because there are so few opportunities to connect with people in real time and real space about social media and digital technologies. And be sure you act fast to register for the Biola Digital Conference. The early registration deadline is April 30th. I will be there myself, so would love to meet you in person as well. There's only so much we can do online, and there's some things worth doing in person. But in the meantime, I love staying connected with you online because all of us can't be traveling everywhere all the time the way social media allows us to do that. So connect with me, connect with us on Social Media Church, on Twitter or Facebook. And subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher or whatever Android podcatcher app you're using. And you can find all the links conveniently located on the upper right-hand corner of our website at socialmediachurch.net. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church podcast. This remains the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, let's stay connected online.